Let's jump into our text this morning. If you would, turn with me to John chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 22 to 27. And if you do need a copy of God's words, there's several on the table over here that you're welcome to grab as well to follow along. John chapter 6. And out of reverence, if you would, please stand with me for the words of the only true and living God. John 6, starting in verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Let us pray, church. Father, a single word from you is more precious than gold. Lord, as we walk through this passage, I pray that you would speak through me, that every word of my mouth would be pointing others to you, and that as a church, we would know you more and more, know you rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you can be seated. So as we look at this passage, let's do a quick review of where we are in the timeline of the Gospels. So back in December, we discussed Jesus feeding the 5,000. And last week, Mike took us through the Lord walking on water and meeting up with the disciples and then the calming of the storm. We did take that break there for the Christmas season as well. So maybe it's the same as it is for you as it is for me. Sometimes I lose track of the timeline going through the scriptures. For us, believe it or not, it's been 4 weeks since we read of Jesus feeding the 5,000. But for the disciples and the multitudes on the hillside, it was yesterday. Our text picks up the next day. Putting ourselves in their shoes, yesterday they ate their fill of bread and fish. That evening, the crowd was going to take him by force and make him their ruler. Jesus withdrew up to the mountain. He sent the disciples across the sea, where they exhausted themselves trying to make their way through the storm. Jesus caught up to him walking on the water. The storm was calmed. He took them the rest of the way to the shore. Verse 22, where we start today, is the next day after all this occurred. And yes, it has been 4 weeks for us. So, point number one, seeking Jesus. The first couple verses there. Let's start breaking down our text. So, Jesus had headed out, and the crowd wakes in the morning and realizes that he's gone. But they knew he was not on the boat when the disciples left, and there were no other boats there. So in the crowd's mind, Jesus is missing. They don't know where he is. We also have some new people coming into the crowd. There's some folks from Tiberias who are making their way across the sea on additional boats. So Tiberias is another seaside town a little further up the coast. So for context, real quick, we'll talk about Tiberias. So the people that are coming down from Tiberias is a good example of the type of people who are searching for Christ in this passage. Like the woman at the well, Tiberias was considered unclean by many Jews at this time frame. The city was built upon an old cemetery, and it was many, many generations before that uncleanness went away in the Jews' minds there. So at this time, anybody in Tiberias, it's a lot like the Samaritans. They just kind of distance themselves from them. So like them, though, we too are unclean. We all come to Christ in an unclean state. It is only Christ who can make us clean. If we look back at Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." It is Christ and Christ alone that can cleanse us. So looking back to John, verse 24 ends with the crowd headed towards Capernaum, seeking Jesus. So why would they have gone to Capernaum is one question that's raised. Capernaum was where Jesus based his ministry out of. The crowd knew that he spent time there. It's not too far away. It was a logical place for them to go looking. It also raises the question of why the crowd is going after Jesus. So let's look at a couple verses that help us with this. If we look back in verse 2 of this chapter, we see that a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Again, in chapter 6, just a few verses back in 14 and 15, we see that the crowd was trying to force him to be their king because they saw the signs that he had done. Here in a minute, we'll also take a look at verse 26, which again, Jesus addresses the people that are seeking him because of the signs. But we'll get there in a minute. So to sum it up, for the time being, the crowd is following him because of the signs and the wonders that they saw. In past sermons, we've discussed a lot of the seeking signs versus a true following of Christ. I can't reference you back to one particular sermon because we've had several times where we've discussed this, because that's where the text leads us, so that's what we talk about. But if you have any interest in that, please look back on the website. There's lots of sermons posted there. But we too often seek Christ because of the signs and wonders. But we'll get into more of this here in a moment with these next verses. Point two, following Jesus. So the crowd called up to Jesus. Let's take a look at the conversation that ensues after that. So the crowd's trying to figure out when and how Jesus got there. Remember, last night he was on the other side of the sea. They knew there were no boats, and here he is across the water. So he doesn't answer their question directly on how he got there or when he arrived. But as Jesus often does, he addresses the heart in the matter here. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Is he telling them that they should not seek signs, that they should seek signs instead of a full belly? But wasn't the feeding of the 5,000 a sign in itself? As we have many times before in this sermon, let's look again on one of the guiding statements that John gives us in his book. John 20, verse 30 to 31. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The purpose of the signs and their recording is that you may see and believe that Jesus is the Christ and have eternal life in his name." The crowd is seeking the signs and the wonders and the fulfillment of their physical needs and missing the purpose of the signs altogether and the one who gave the signs. So let's look at that sign that he gave in this previous context that we're discussing here. So kids, do you know how bread is made? Remember, he just fed the 5,000. Raise your hand if you've ever made bread. Let's see. Have you ever helped make bread? I know some of y'all have. I know my kids have a book about a little red hen who was going to make some bread, but she needed some help in gathering the wheat, milling the flour, mixing it, kneading the dough, and baking the bread. It's a lot of work to make a simple loaf of bread, not just going to the store in these days. It took a lot. So a meal for these people was a big deal. Jesus provided a massive amount of food for them. Remember, they ate their fill of fish and bread, and they were searching for more. People of that time had to work very hard just to eat. And Jesus instructs them not to work for food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life. The verses we're looking at today are building for these next couple of weeks. Christ is shifting the focus of the crowd from the physical needs to the spiritual needs. Let's look at a few other verses on this topic. So Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." He's shifting focus here, going from the physical needs to the spiritual. Colossians 3:2, "Set your minds on the things of the Spirit that are above, not on things that are on the earth." 2 Corinthians 4:18 is another one. "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." It's likely that we'll hear similar questions like this as these passages continue on. Are we seeking signs, or are we truly seeking Christ? John brings this up multiple times because it matters. And like the people then, we too are guilty of only seeking the signs and not seeking Christ. If we are truly seeking Christ, our focuses should be on the things of heaven and not on the things of the world. It should be on the kingdom of God. The things of this world will pass, but the kingdom of God is everlasting. So before we move on to our time of communion, we typically close out in prayer. This week, we'll do something a little bit different. We like prayer here at Logos. And I'm going to ask you if you would join me in the Lord's Prayer. I've got it on the screen behind me. I understand that we all may know slightly different versions of it. That's okay if other versions come out. I'm guilty of that myself in a big crowd. But if y'all would join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, our focus should be on things of heaven, not on the things of this world.